Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Liz Wagstrom. She is the chief veterinarian for the National Pork Producers Council. Liz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The Veterinary Feed Directive, it's new to beef and to poultry and to dairy, not necessarily new to pork. You had a few products available, but it was expanded greatly earlier this year. How is the industry adjusting?
We're really proud of the preparation that was done and how well the industry has adjusted. We expected on January 1st to have those phone calls, including one saying, did you know this was happening? Got very few phone calls, and the phone calls we got were asking about very specific situations. How do I comply if this is what I do? Mm-hmm. And so I think that it was a monumental task, but people prepared well ahead of time.
What are some of the questions that you were getting at NPPC from your members?
A lot of the questions were always around, if I make feed on my farm, do I have to be a distributor? If I send it to my pigs that I own on somebody else's farm, am I a distributor? How do I register? What does it mean if I register? So most of them revolved around producing feed on farm.
And when the FDA first came forward with their idea for Guidance 213, mm-hmm. obviously you had a chance to comment on it and so forth, but what's your position on this tighter usage of medically important antibiotics?
So the industry was really happy that even though there was no scientific data that we felt supported this tightening, we did feel it was good to have a regulated or more rigorous need for that veterinarian to be involved in the decisions. And so our PQA Plus program has always said the veterinarian should be involved in all decisions, regardless of where the distribution chain was. So that was a good thing. I don't know that we were supportive of the losing the growth promotion antibiotics, but it is what it is. You know, FDA has done it. We are very concerned that FDA goes any further. We don't want to have restrictions on prevention uses of antibiotics. We don't want arbitrary restrictions on how long an antibiotic could be used in certain situations.
Now, to be clear, you said that you didn't want to see the growth promotion claims go away. It was the medically important antibiotics that
Correct.
Lost claims for things like increased feed conversion and growth rate. But there are still some antibiotics out there that were not deemed medically important by FDA that can be used for performance purposes.
That's correct.
As a chief veterinarian for NPPC, I know that you have a lot of interaction with food service companies and consumers and so forth. What are you hearing from them about antibiotics, and do you feel that the pork industry is responding to their needs?
We get a lot of questions about why can't pork do what poultry has done. You know, we see the poultry companies willing to go raise without antibiotics or no antibiotics ever, and why can't pork do that? We think that the companies have learned the complexity of their supply chains from some of those that had made announcements on gestation housing. And so there's a lot more questions, a lot more interaction than just having an announcement come out. And several of the big companies, I'd say McDonald's especially, really looked at Guidance 213 and made their antibiotic policy very similar to that.
What, if anything, can the pork industry learn from poultry's experience?
I think the questions or the role that we'd like to see avoided is that race to zero. And let's look at what's right for the pig, what's right for the our production systems, what's still going to protect public health while producing safe food, and then also what complies with the regulations. But now let's look at this a little more holistically than say, let's, you know, race to zero.
Kind of separating marketing from science.
Correct.
Various surveys have shown that veterinarians wield a tremendous amount of credibility with the general population. What can swine veterinarians do to steer this discussion so that pork doesn't get into a situation that might be comparable to poultry's?
Yeah, and we've worked with a group of swine veterinarians that go through our course called the Swine Veterinarians Public Policy Program, Advocacy Program. Given them media training, suggest they go and talk to their local schools or local newspapers. There's an Operation Main Street public speaking session being held here for that veterinarians can go into. Be an advocate. Talk to the person next door, the person at church, your local reporters, and then, you know, at a national level, quite often we'll be calling people to say, would you be willing to host a visit? Would you be willing to talk to these reporters about various aspects of pork production, including antibiotic use?
And lastly, you were saying before that you wouldn't like to see FDA go any further with its regulations. Have there been hints that they might do so?
FDA had put out a federal register notice asking for information about antibiotics that have no listed duration on their label and wanting to know when they were used, for what diseases they were most commonly used, what age group of animals. And I think that's the beginning of their information gathering as they decide if they're going to put some arbitrary limits on.
And so producers or vets who are concerned about this, what should they be doing?
Comments have been put in place already, but we've been working closely with the swine veterinarians, American Association of Swine Veterinarians, National Pork Board, to collect that information to help us be able to justify that the veterinarian needs to have the ability to utilize their medical judgment on how long an antibiotic needs to be used. We, if somebody feels strongly, we'd love to bring them into DC and have them come visit FDA with us, talk about what they do on the farm and the disease challenges they face.
One final question. You know, we've talked about antibiotics. There are so-called antibiotic alternatives, some perhaps showing more potential than others. Do you feel that the industry could eventually go that route and maybe back off antibiotics altogether?
What we're looking at is saying, what can you do to reduce the need to use antibiotics? So whether that's production changes with pig flow or weaning age, or whether it's differences in vaccination or hygiene, and potentially some of these alternatives, what can you do to reduce that need? I think that for improvement in growth, there's probably a lot of promise in some of these products. When you look at actual disease conditions, that's a lot more difficult.
And it really comes down to a welfare issue, doesn't it?
It does, and we're really, actually, I was really pleased to see the American Association of Swine Veterinarians put out a statement that says, in spite of the market incentives on some of these programs, it's the veterinarian producer responsibility to take care of the pig first, and if you can't compromise welfare just to meet some market incentives.
And welfare is something everybody can agree on, I think.
Absolutely.
We have been talking to Dr. Liz Wagstrom. She is the chief veterinarian at the National Pork Producers Council. Liz, thank you again.
Thank you.